Okay, good. We're good. Yay. Hey, hey, everybody. This is, some people are watching. This is Matt Maher. Welcome to the Dear Maddie Show via Blab. I've never done this before. And I'm here with the newly met and always awesome Joe Pardo from the Dreamers podcast. Yeah, I don't have an applause button or I would press something. Yeah, I just...
The people listening at home, they can't stop.
Yeah. First of all, listeners, you're like, does it sounds different? What's happening? This is all new for me. So we're using Blab, which is, it's kind of like Periscope, but you can record it, I guess. I'm not sure. Kind of going where, you know, you live in New Jersey. I just literally e-met you yesterday through Jared Easley, the wonderful Jared Easley.
Jared Easley's the man.
He is the man. I love him so much. And so normally on my show, the first question I ask people is, how do we know one another? But I'm getting to that point now where I've basically exhausted all my friends to be on my show.
I've been there, man.
So now it's just strangers. So I want to ask, like, tell me, you know, I've been reading on your website and everything, but tell me a little bit of who you are and like how you started the Dreamers podcast.
All right. So let's see. Been doing podcasting for a little over a year and a half now. Cool. Basically, I worked in my family's business all my life. I got to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. I was mad as hell, and it was time to.
What type of business was it?
It's in truck parts and trucking. Oh, the trucking industry.
That's
very, very exciting.
Very exciting.
It was pretty boring. But you know, hey, it paid the bills, and it's a legacy. You know, you can see the hats behind me. I'm not a hat guy, so they sit up on the wall.
I relate. My father's a plumber, and my brother is taking over the plumbing business. And Chelsea Mar plumbing hats are a coveted thing in Lone Grove, Oklahoma, especially if they got like the little camo with the American flag. It's a big deal. Big deal.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Love it. You know, I know a couple plumbing family businesses. There's quite a few actually in this area.
Hey,
everybody seems to have a truck in their driveway.
Shit paid for my undergraduate degree, so I'm not complaining. So you got out of the family business, and you did what?
I didn't really know what I was going to do. I didn't have a degree. Worked in my family's business all of my life. I'm an IT guy by nature since I was little, playing with computers. So it was like, okay, well, what do I do? I don't have any of the certifications. I mean, I could get them, but I'd have to study and do tests.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know a lot of this stuff. So why would I do all that? And I didn't really want to do IT work anyway. So I was like, okay, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. So I started going back to school. It was a business administration. I started like 10 years ago, and I just was like, I'm not a school guy anyway. So I was like, all right, well. So I went back anyway, a little over two years ago. And I started making friends with my teachers, and I was getting all these good grades. And I'm like, this is too easy. Like, why is this so easy? This wasn't so easy 10 years ago. Why is this easy now? And it shouldn't be.
Because you weren't drinking. No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
actually, little known fact, I don't drink at all. I don't have time.
Good for you.
Seriously, I'm like, I don't have time for that. But, you know, more power to the people that want to. That's great. You know, I do other things, but... So let's see. I left the company not knowing what I was going to do. A month later, I'm on a plane to Disney World, Disney. And a friend of mine, and I was talking because we were traveling together, and I was like, hey, is there any Disney podcast that I hadn't heard about that I could reach out to? I just put out my first DJ album. It's called Adventuratorium.
Get
it out there. You can download it for free. There's a video. The first half of it, it's 2 hours long.
The first half
of it has it's a whole music video. It's the story of Up, told it through music, and the music is Disney music mashed up with hip hop instrumentals. So,
I just fell in love with you. Fell in love with you. Now, my boyfriend, I'm kicking him out, and tell your wife you're moving with Up makes me sob like a 13-year-old girl at an Elvis concert. That movie is so good.
It is. It is. It didn't get enough credit. I wish it had won Movie of the Year, because it probably would have gotten more, you know, more of its due rather than just being nominated. It was the first nominated Movie of the Year that was animated, which was a phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. That's good to know. Apparently, sorry, there's something being drugged. I live in the city. Somebody just killed somebody and they're dragging something, and my shitty Yeti mic's probably picking them up. Anyway,
I don't hear anything.
All right, good. All right, good. Okay, continue. So, okay, so like it's a Disney podcast, and
well, no, so
I mean,
no,
you're
so
looking for one.
I was looking for one to go and promote the album, and what ended up happening was he's like, oh, how about this guy, you know, John Lee Dumas? He does Entrepreneur on Fire. He's making like,
oh yeah,
you know, ridiculous money, hand over fist. I was like, all right, what does he do? And he's like, oh, he just interviews entrepreneurs 7 days a week. And I was like, holy crap. I was like, I've only listened to one podcast at that point. It was WDW Today, which sadly just ended. Well, they passed it on to a new crew. So it's, you know, but the crew that I love and went to Disney like four times to go see, they're gone. So anyway, I was like, well, I know plenty of entrepreneurs. I know plenty of business people. You know, I could do something similar to that. Yeah. That wouldn't be hard at all. I have the music background, the technology background, website building background. Like, I have all that.
I was like, everything. You have everything I did not have when I started a podcast. I had dick jokes and a dream, and that is it. Anyway, continue. Okay, I love this.
So I was like, okay. I was like, but you know, I know a lot more people that are doing really cool things and like living their dream and doing all this awesome stuff. So I was like, you know, let's put it together. Called Dreamers Podcast. Came to me. By the time when the plane landed, I registered the domain name, the Facebook page, and the Twitter page, or the Twitter handle. And then started texting people all before we got to the car, like the rental car at the airport.
You are an entrepreneur on fire. You're like, let's go.
When I want to do something, I'm like, let's just make it happen. How do we do it? What's the quickest way? Uh-huh. So 2 weeks from then, I had the show launched, and just started getting guests and referrals. Within three or four weeks of launching, I went from 1 day to 3 day to 5 days a week.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, so it was like, dude, that's like all I was doing was editing shows. It was ridiculous. Yeah. But I loved it. I enjoyed what I was doing. And there was a lot of moments where I was sitting at home at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm editing a podcast and I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Why am I not at work? You know, like, there's something wrong with this picture. I shouldn't be staying home and editing. And I'm not even getting paid for any of this. I saw the goal, right? The goal was more independence, doing things that I want to do, making money how I want to make money, and not having to, you know, deal with other people's petty bullshit during the day.
Yeah, and have a fulfilling life.
Yeah, you know, and just do like get to meet people. And that's the great thing about podcasting is, and this is, we're living this right now, is you'd have no reason to talk to Joe Pardo otherwise.
No, not it has connected me to people I never thought I would be connected with. And not in a bad way. It's just I love it. I feel like it's a secret society of like.
Not so secret society.
Yeah. But I mean, at least to me, it does.
It's a not so secret club that is a secret society or something.
Yes. I just want to be in a secret society because I've read Harry Potter too much. So I just want to be in something. I just want to be a Gryffindor. That's it.
So that's where it all started. And now, a year and a half in, I have 2 books written. I have 6 shows that I do. I do a podcasting conference here in South Jersey, just outside of Philadelphia. We had 40 people show up to the first one, which was back in September. In fact, I just
booked
the hotel for next year. So we were going from a school gymnasium with 40 people to an actual hotel. So there's that.
What is it? What's a conference called and when is it? I'm not go.
It's Podcast Mid-Atlantic. It's Podcast Mid-Atlantic Conference. So also known as MapCon, Mid-Atlantic.
Oh, cool.
So basically podcasters get together, we meet, we, you know, have a good time. We have speakers, we have panels, we have the thing that we do different is because I wanted to make something that's I was using the word unconference for a little while. And then I found out that that's actually a word that people use to describe a conference that it's more spontaneous. And I was like, yeah, OK, that's not really what we're going for. So like an alternative conference is really more what it's aligned okay. with. So like one of the things that we do different is the creative podcast competition. So you get 45 minutes and a bag with three items in it. And you have a group of four podcasters and you have 45 minutes to create a 5 minute or less podcast and then perform that on stage at the end of the competition.
Oh, I'm going to this.
Fabulous prizes.
Oh, I'm going to this. I love that idea. That's amazing. Yeah. I bet what kind of podcast it came out of the first one?
Oh, dude, some of them were funny. Some of them I was crying. They were so funny.
Oh,
the one you actually, if you go to podcastmidatlantic.com, mm-hmm. you can actually watch, if you scroll down to not the first video, the first video is actually the whole conference. Mm-hmm. So you can watch the entire
That's
thing.
Amazing.
It's 6.5 hours long in high def. I had that up in 3 days. I had to go to my friend's house to upload it because he had a fiber connection and I don't. But
it's like you just said blip, 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 to me. No, I'm kidding. I know what fiber. I know what fiber is. Yeah.
So, but scroll to the second video on that page. And what you'll see is the winning podcast. It's like less than 5 minutes. It's called the Not Working Podcast.
Okay.
And it's all about networking and the basically the different types of people that go to networking events.
Ah,
and
okay.
And they were just acting it out on stage. And I was crying when I watched
That's hilarious. Awesome.
So we gave away Audio Technica microphones, actually.
Oh, nice.
As the prize. Each person in that group got an Audio Technica ATR 2100 microphone donated by the people at Audio Technica.
Look at you.
Which is fabulous to have them.
You are like... I feel like a failure. No, I'm kidding. I don't.
Stop.
I don't.
There's people that have like so much further along than me. I don't have any papers on my wall, man.
No. That's great. Are you going to Jared's conference in Chicago? Are you going to that one next year?
Yeah, podcast movement. I'll be there.
I will be there as well, actually.
Yeah,
so
it's actually this year.
Or this year. Oh, it's 2016.
This year,
hello.
2016, man.
Hello.
Three days in.
Come on. I got to remember. So
get
now.
With it, man. Get with it.
So. What did your wife say about this? Because you're about to, like literally a year and a half of you're like, honey, I got to get out of the truck business. Like, did you have that conversation? Was it a conversation? What was that like?
When I worked there, see, something that you have to realize when you're is that you know when you have certain personality traits, right? Mm-hmm. The best thing you could do for yourself is to figure out what your personality traits are, mm-hmm. the strengths and the weaknesses of it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I'm a really passionate person, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like I said, podcasting, like I went all in and have been doing it ever since. Haven't missed a release date. I don't do it 5 days a week for that show anymore because mm-hmm. I do six shows. So I do that one and I do five others. But, mm-hmm. You know, for me, I was really passionate, and I was really passionate about what I did at the business. It wasn't just IT; it was inventory management. It was going to be basically taking over five companies.
Mm-hmm.
And what I needed to realize at the time was that not everybody else gives a shit like you do. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even mine, right? It wasn't like to me, a job isn't about like. Oh, is this going to be my company? Boom, boom, boom. Like, or like, what's my name or anything like that? Like, it's about like putting your best foot forward mm-hmm. and doing the best work that you can mm-hmm. and what's best for everybody. Like asking what's right instead of just like, well, what makes it look like I got it right?
Yeah.
Like I don't have to be right. And that's what a lot of people like seem to get wrong about me is I don't have to be right. I just want it to be right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if the answer can come from multiple people, it might not even come from me at all. Mm-hmm. Like my suggestions might be crap, but that's the whole point of spitballing and brainstorming. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big believer in that stuff. So it's like, that's how you get it. And it's like all these steps. So I would get frustrated because I couldn't understand why other people, and obviously this is in retrospect.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't understand why other people couldn't get as enthusiastic about it as I would. And I got frustrated.
Mm.
And angry about it. And it's a shame because it helped create an even worse atmosphere for me.
Mm.
It worked against me.
Yeah.
Because it was already I'm not going to get all into it, but it was already a bad situation for me as it mm-hmm. was. It got a lot worse because I was just like beating my head into it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go harder. Let's go harder.
You're like, it's like the universe or God or whatever you believe is like trying to lead you in another direction. And you're saying, no, I'm literally going to just try to make, you know, the square go in the circle kind of a thing.
It's going in there, man. Yeah. You're going to you were... break the handsaw out of the top.
Exactly. Exactly. But exactly.
She's happy. She was happy when I left, because I would come home and it would be like 10 minutes of me like escalating my voice to the point where I was just screaming.
Mm.
Yeah. I was that frustrated. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay. And then I actually started going to a therapist for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to see like through the bigger picture in the whole thing. But then it took me a year of paying $125 a friggin' session,
uh-huh.
You know, 1 week, 1 week per session, to realize like all I'm paying $125 for is to go and complain about work and yeah. how much I hate it and the people I'm not happy with, the people that I work with,
uh-huh.
and some of them are, you know, most of them are really great people, and I still keep in obviously my, you know, it's still my family, and even though my dad and I butt heads a lot, still it's gotten better. So, you know, being able to recognize your, you know, your strengths and your character traits and mm-hmm. then work to fix them is so impactful. Like it makes life a lot easier for you.
Well, I think too, there seems to be, it seems that one of, people, at least I think a lot of times, get frustrated or depressed when they feel like they don't have a choice. And in that, you feel like you're stuck in this job and you don't have a choice to leave, but it's like, you do. And it's just, to me, a lot of my work in working with therapy clients is, well, I would say you maybe didn't have a good therapist, whatever. But I don't let people
you wouldn't tell me to leave. I kept asking. I kept thinking, like, just tell me to leave and I'll freaking do it.
Oh,
I'll
my
do
God.
It. Just tell me.
He would
not do it.
I've told people to leave. I've told people before to leave a relationship or leave a job, because sometimes they just need to hear it. Because I've told people that, and it's, they still do what they want to do when they realize it's their choice and their responsibility. Well, and two, like, because I'm going to get to get, we have a couple, only have two questions today on the show. I do normally do like two or three, sometimes four. But one question I was just going to ask generally, because people have asked me this before, like, you know, how do you start either a podcast or also, I mean, literally, we just met yesterday, so you probably don't know this, but I'm a commercial actor, and so I've been in some commercials.
Well, I've seen that. You do stand-up comedy as well, right?
Yeah, I do stand-up. I'm doing a stand-up show this Saturday or this Thursday. Sweet. But yeah, I've been in like some national commercials and stuff like that, and so people are always like, oh, what did you like? How did you follow that dream to do it? And so, and you're kind of answering this already, but one question I was going to ask you, because I know the one book is the 31 Life Changing Concepts, right?
Yes.
And what's your other book called?
How to Dream Big and Win.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So that's kind of, I guess that's a question, a general question I want to ask, just because I think a lot of my listeners are interested in that. And that, what is like the first step in trying to dream big? And I say that in my boyfriend and I, one thing that I love about him is that when we first met, we both have these kind of big dreams. And I honestly feel like I feel like everybody has big dreams in life, but I feel like a lot of people don't even say them out loud or express it, because it seems they just, whether they not beat down by life, but it's like, well, but quote unquote, normal people don't have big dreams like that. That's stuff you see in the movies or on a podcast or, you know, that's not. So for me, I think I'm super interested in to know your thoughts. Like, what's the first step in just trying to dream big?
Well, all right. So like, and you probably have heard this, especially as a therapist, you know where the richest place in the earth is, right?
Connecticut? I don't know.
It's the graveyard, man. That's where all the dreams are that never got made.
Oh, I've never heard that.
The thoughts, you never heard that before?
That is some truth. That's some truth talk, Joe Pardo. Hashtag truth talk. I love that.
But, you know, and it's the truth. I mean, how many people, like, you know, I got to grow up. I got to grow up and I got to have kids and I got to have the house and we take the steps and we do all that. Or how many people had dreams, but they, you know, got addicted to drugs and then just crashed
uh-huh.
or something like that. Like they just like shot off. You know, if you're playing golf, you know, you sliced it way off to one side or the other instead mm-hmm. of making it, you know, a line drive right to the hole. you know, the first thing is to really identify what it is that you love. And that was, for me, it was like, hey, Joe, what do you want to do when you grow up? And but the problem is, like, I was like 27 at the time, mm-hmm. or like 27 turned 28. So it's like, well, I don't know. And I gave it, like, it took me 2 years to come up with the courage to tell my dad that I was like, look, I think I'm going to go back to school and do something else.
Mm.
It took 2 years to have that conversation. And then it still took another 6 months. Nine, 10 months or so before I finally actually left.
Mm.
And it's tough, but you know, you have to be able to figure out what it is you want in life. Mm-hmm. So like one of the things that I did was like, hey, I love playing Madden and NHL and the PlayStation stuff. I was like, you know, I really like love sports. I think I would be really, you know, I could excel at doing something in the sports world where not necessarily being a general manager, but like being on that path, right. Mm-hmm. Doing stuff in the front office and working with people and maybe talking people, like getting contracts together and stuff to bring people in as liaisons to like a team or something like that. So mm-hmm. Maybe I want to get on that path. And I actually went and went to a networking event before I left the company. Over at our local Philly, where the 76ers, the crappy 76ers, and the not so much better Flyers play. And
sports, you know, sports talk, but you know, whatever. They could be the Buccaneers, Penguins. I wouldn't know. Wouldn't know. Anyway, go ahead. Hashtag stereotype, but go ahead.
Well, I'm just imagining Penguins with like an eye patch on their eye.
That's a Disney movie. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah, exactly. I'm gay DD, Joe. So it's just going to happen a couple of times. So sorry. Go ahead.
All right, Matt.
Go ahead.
So, you know, I went to the event and met a bunch of people, talked to people. And I realized like, oh man, I really hate these events. These events suck. Like, it was like, they were all like, oh, okay. So this is so-and-so and this is so-and-so and this is so-and-so. And they're speaking into the microphone. And they're like, okay, so now you're going to have like an hour to talk to these people. Go. And it's like, here's 100+ people. They all turned to like the side of the room and just attacked the wall with the people. And it's like, oh, so I got to stand in line for one person. I was like, I don't even know which person I should be talking to. Luckily for me, I got to talk to about three people. One I found, you know, sort of, he was interesting. One was an HR person. I think one was an accountant, one was an HR. And then one, the final one, was my friend Ryan, who he is the and this isn't going to mean anything to you, but ECHL, which is like minor league. So you know baseball, like
I do know baseball. That's the one sport I know.
Woohoo! All right, yes,
go Rangers, go Rangers.
So it's like double A minor in baseball.
Okay, yeah. All right, yeah, we used to go see minor. My whole family is actually real sports, so we used to go to a minor league team. The Oklahoma City Redhawks, I think. Whatever.
For hockey or for football or
baseball? Sorry, baseball.
Oh, okay, yeah. Baseball. I mean, there's lots of like minor league teams up and down the bread belt. Is it bread belt?
No, but now I'm hungry. It's Bible Belt. I forget.
No, that goes this way. There's something that's like that goes this way across.
Oh.
The
Oh,
like,
see,
the bread belt's like left to, you know, east to
oh,
west.
Oh, yes, I think it is the bread belt because of planes.
Or something
yes.
like that.
Yeah.
Or bread basket. I don't know. Anyway, point is I got to meet this guy Ryan, and we got to talk a little bit, and then I left to go because our networking event included a ticket to the Sixers game because they're so coveted.
Uh-huh.
And I walked around, and I actually went around the long way, and Ryan got done at like talking to someone else, and we met up at the same entrance. So then we sat down and we're talking because I play hockey, he plays hockey, and all that, and it was interesting because basically he talked me out of wanting to do anything with sports because of the demand. Like he drives like an hour and a half each way to work to Princeton, New Jersey from upper North Jersey. And, you know, he has friends that work for different teams and they're like, yeah, it doesn't matter what holiday, who's dying or who's in the hospital. Like if it's game day, like you don't like that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
All that doesn't matter. So, you know, it's really a shame. So But for me, it was great because I was like, oh, cool. I know what I don't want to do now. And I was able to just like move on from it, you know.
I think that's huge. I tell people that a lot of times too. They're like, I don't know what to do with my life. And I say, literally write down the things you know you don't want to do, because that's at least you're at least whittling it away.
Yeah, something, right? Because otherwise you and I call it treadmilling on zero. And that's like, and especially when it comes to like money and like, hey, I'm doing this podcasting thing. Am I making any money? Well, no. And it's like, that's just in your head, because if you are making any kind of money, you need to count that as something, right? Because if you don't, then you treadmill on zero. You're just constantly saying, well, no, I didn't make any money, because in your head, you're like, well, no, I didn't pay my rent this month with that money. I didn't pay a cable bill with that money. I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, you have to kind of like equate it to something.
And no,
I was stuck on zero for a long time.
I know I do. And I think it's too, looking at it, sometimes look at the big picture too, and not, because I've booked commercials because people heard my podcast and then a casting director would call me in because of my podcast. So even though it's not inadvertently, like I don't have a sponsor for my show or anything like that, I'm still working on it, but it was good. I kind of took like the, I call it, oh, wait. I say this to my own therapist once, where I take a situation and I go, oh, wait. And when I say, oh, wait, it's almost kind of like I see myself. It's like I play games too. So it's like when you're on a PS4 or something and you're zoomed in and then you zoom out and you kind of look at things in a bigger picture. When I say, oh, wait, it helps me zoom out and look at it. And then I go, oh, this is connected more than I thought. So anyway,
I agree. It's easy to get stuck. Because you're not like, oh, you know, especially when you have people like in my situation, we're like constantly asking me, Joe, you making any money? And I wanted to be like, yes, I'm selling drugs. That's what the goal. That's what I'm doing. That's how I'm making money. And
good for you. Good.
Not good for the people I'm doing it for. But, you know,
entrepreneur.
Yeah. Why not?
Well, I think, you know, it actually reminds me of, I've talked to a lot of people about this before, that, it almost reminds me of coming out, and that, no, you're like, what? But like, you know, when I came out when I came out to gay as my family in Oklahoma, like there was this kind of my own process of realizing who I was, saying that aloud to myself, and then telling my family about it, and my family getting used to this idea, and like kind of like getting everybody on board, and then living like my authentic self. And it really is, I think, is very similar in that, like, you have something that you know is true to you, but it's not necessarily what the conventional world tells us we should be doing. Like you said earlier, you should get the job and the house in this way and that way. But that's not, you know, happiness comes in. It's like snowflakes, you know, it's different for everyone.
You know, it's such a shame that it's even like a thing that you have to, you know, come out to the world. You know, nobody asks anybody like, hey, oh, hey, Matt, it's nice to meet you. What's your fetish?
Oh, yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Like, nobody would expect anybody to ask that question. So
I agree.
Like, it's ridiculous, right? I get it. Like, it's different, right? Like, if you woke up and you start seeing the sky is green, you'd be like, well, wait a second. That wasn't like that yesterday. I'm uncomfortable because I don't know why the sky's green.
Yeah.
But you just work. You just go with it.
Well, I'm very thankful for it, though, because I'm sure you can relate too, that going through this process of coming out, of going back to school, of wanting to do that, has definitely, because of that, now I'm much more in tune with what I want to say yes to and what I know is I want to say no to. And before in my life, I was much more like, dump it on me. I'll do whatever you want. You know, I was just kind of going through the motions.
Yeah, no, totally. And you know, I guess we do that to, like, because it's what, you know, we're doing what's expected, not what we have really inside of us, and what everything we've been doing all of our life has added up to mean to this point. You know,
exactly. I
mean, you know, podcasting for me, like I said, made perfect sense, because it's like it took all of the skills that I had been working on separately and doing different things with. So like, boom, okay, now I know all about recording, like, even before that. Like, the only thing I needed to know was, like, how do I get it on my website? Like, I already know how to do websites. I don't know how to do that. Like, what's the plugin I need? And my friend Al Kessel shared that with me, the services that he uses. And it's like, okay, well, I could have Googled it, and I would have just as quick, but it was nice to get a recommendation.
Yeah, I think, you know, yeah, I think it too is just, for me, you know, I started this podcast because at the age of 12, I was recording like the Oprah Winfrey Show and like pausing it. Like she would, her guest would make a response, and before she would ask a question, I would pause it and be like, you know, at first it was like, I would try to ask what I thought Oprah would ask. And then eventually it was kind of like, I started formulating what I wanted to ask. I mean, obsessed with like talk shows. And so for me, I got to have a really bad business partnership, friendship that kind of went shitland. And
partnerships are hard, man.
It was, but I learned a ton from it. But I got out of that and I thought, what do I want to do? And I was like, I'm just going to do a talk show, even if it's on my own fucking living room with just me and like one person listening and my dog. And that's what I did. And it fills my heart every week. So to anybody out there that I think it is going back to, you know, what would you do if you didn't, if there wasn't such a thing as money, what would you do for just love and life? And then I think the money you'll figure out a way to make it financially beneficial. At least that's what I think.
And that's one of the things that I tell a lot of like college students or kids that are about to go to college. Like, you know, it's like, well, what do you want to do? Right. Should you go to college? Well, or, you know, probably, but here's the thing.
It's not right for everybody.
Do you have the will? Is the life that you want to live? Because that's one of the things I do in my talk is I talk about like, where do you want to live? How do you want to live? Do you want like big cars, living in the city, you know, super high rent? Like if that's what you want, then that's okay. You can do that. But you just have to, you know, be wary of the fact that like, if you go to college, you're going to have a certain amount of debt.
Yeah.
Most cases, not every case, but in most cases, you'll
in most cases.
Well, yeah. I mean, if your parents are able to pay some of it, you get, you know, some loans, but you work, you know, there's ways around it. But also, what school do you want to go to or type of school? So if you want to live on a farm, well, then going to school, you know, for our agriculture is a good thing. So then you need to go to like North Carolina or somewhere that has an agriculture program. So, you know, figuring that kind of stuff out is like super important. But it's asking yourself and giving yourself the permission to like explore that idea. Right.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, hey, I like one of the examples is one of the kids I know was like, oh, you know, I want to do the band thing. I'm going to have a band and do recording on the side to make money. I was like, okay, that's great. And he's like, well, should I go to college? And I was like, well, the thing is when you get out of college, you'll have a piece of paper, but it's not going to put you any closer to what you want to actually do. Mm-hmm. Right. So not that you shouldn't necessarily go to college, but maybe you should take less classes so you keep your debt down. So you go slower while you're building up that business. And then you're hedging your bets a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, the thing is like band life can work. You won't make a ton of money probably. But you really can't make it work if you have a ton of debt hanging over your head either.
Yeah.
So if you want to live in a smaller house or a smaller apartment, you don't care about like big materialistical things, and there's nothing wrong with materialistic things, but you know, it's just a matter of keeping it in perspective with how you want to live your life.
Yeah. I'm not a Susie Orman, but everybody talks about good debt and I'm like, no, debt is debt. But that's I get it, but that's a whole other podcast. Okay. Well, I have two listener questions. That they're real questions. I always say that because some people say, are these real questions? I'm like, yes.
I hope they are, but they aren't. I hope they're more interesting.
No.
They better be interesting if they're not real questions.
No, they're real questions, actually. This first one's a little long, so bear with me. But this is from Gerald. He's age 27, and he says, Dear Maddie, I'm writing because my best friend told me I should get help, and I don't know really where to turn to. I live in New York, and I just graduated college. A year ago, I got a great first job at a firm in the city, and I feel like things are going well. Work is challenging, stressful, but I do enjoy it. How funny with what we were just talking about. Anyway, he says, not my dream job, but I feel like I'm doing good for 27. The problem is, and I'm going to be honest, I work hard and I like to party hard. I like having fun and I feel like I deserve it. I don't have kids, a wife, no pets, basically just me. So I like to drink, but honestly, I love doing coke. Not every day, but I pretty much use cocaine every weekend for fun. But again, I feel like I'm responsible as I can be about it. I never drive and I don't wake up blacked out or anything like that. I just go out with friends and dance. Well, recently I was out with a girl that I was seeing and she introduced me to, well, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, meth or crack or whatever you want to call it. I only did it once and yeah, it was awesome, but I don't want to do that again. Anyway, my best friend thinks I have a drug problem, but I don't really think so since, again, I just use on the weekend. I never do during the week, and I'm a pretty healthy gym nut. I think she's just being paranoid because she has a family history of drug addicts. Again, I appreciate the thought, but what do you think, Maddie? This is from Gerald, age 27.
You're going to take the first swing at this, right? I hope.
It's all you, Joe. No, Gerald, I mean, honestly, I feel like Gerald is telling himself the story he wants to hear instead of the story that everybody else is seeing, probably. I don't have the full picture here, but I actually were, you. Well, you don't know this because you just met me, but part of my first internship, I counseled crystal meth addicts actually for a whole year, which was interesting to me because I personally, knock on wood, have never had an addiction except maybe Dr. Pepper, but that's been about it. But one thing I learned a lot about addiction is that a lot of people think when you're addicted to alcohol or drugs or they think that you're doing it and abusing it every single day. And that's actually not the case with addiction. It's about your relationship with the thing. So in this case, Gerald's relationship with drugs and how he uses them. And some people I know that call themselves alcoholics would only get drunk for like once every like 4 months. But when they got drunk, they would get drunk for 4 days and it would completely, you know, it would disable their life. So with Gerald, I'm just, I'm going to be honest. Meth is like fucking hardcore. That's like a really, really, that's a really dangerous drug. And this is reminding me of like a Club 54 movie or something where it starts out like you're young and you're fine, Gerald. And you're like, you start doing these drugs, but like, whether you think psychologically, chemically, you are getting addicted to these drugs. And I could go into the whole thing about like dopamine and how it's released with the drug and your body's not able to make enough dopamine, which is like your natural feel good drug or one of them. But again, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not. But I'm going to say just basically, yeah, Gerald, I think your friend's right. I think you have an unhealthy relationship with drugs. And I think that it's something you should probably seek help on. But Joe, what do you think?
All right, I got to ask, what part of California are you in?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
So, like in LA.
How far is that from San Bernardino? No, not San Bernardino.
San Bernardino is about 45 minutes. One of my friend's boyfriend, he was actually killed in that shooting. Because that's like a place where, whenever I was getting my master's, you could do internships at different places. And that was one of, like, I could have chosen to do an internship there. So anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to bring it down, everybody.
No.
But yeah,
I brought that. I've actually been to both of those, both LA and that. But what's the city? And maybe it's not Bernardino, but the city with the meth problem, like the meth capital of the world. I'm Googling it right now.
I don't know. I should know this. I mean,
okay. Well, apparently
I know that
there was,
I know that there, it's actually meth is pretty rampant in the gay community. So I know there's a bit of it in West Hollywood, but that's not the meth capital of the world.
Fresno.
Fresno. Yes.
Watched a documentary called The City Addicted to Crystal Meth with Lewis Thorax.
Ooh, I want to read that or listen to that.
Well, yeah, it's a video. Go if you can find it. It's from 2009. It was incredible, the gamut of people that use meth, from like people that you look at and you're like, yeah, they look like they might be on something, but they're like cognitive. They're they've been using it so long that it's just like, it's like nothing to them.
Yeah.
You know, and in some cases, like they were freebase. The one dude was like freebasing it, like just injecting it right into him. And
wow.
Yeah. It's like, dude, like why? In fact, he had no problem going to, they actually have needle exchanges and stuff.
Yeah. Set up like harm reduction type of things. Yeah.
Right, right. And he just, there was just a normal thing for him to go and get, you know, trade out his needles.
It's really popular, actually. I honestly becoming a crisis where I'm from in the small town in southern Oklahoma. It's like they're having so much more gang violence, and that my hometown has the largest crime in of any city in Oklahoma. And it truthfully is because there's, I just like, you'll go out and I just now, because I know it from the group, I see people that I know that are actively using meth, just like in freaking Taco Bell. It's just, it's horrific, because I actually, a lot of moms get addicted to, new moms get addicted to crystal meth, because it might be in a different form, but it's an upper. It helps them lose weight. They have energy with their baby. Like, there's, it's so, I'm sure maybe you saw this in the documentary, but it's definitely not. And I learned this in my group. You know, I've been from a privileged, I'll be on like a privileged white family that's, you know, middle class, nobody's had drugs. So I definitely had an idea of like homeless people or whatever. And this really, like, that group that blew my mind. A lot of people are like in Gerald's situation that are kind of like the working addict, so to speak. But yeah, I think Gerald should probably seek help. I know that. I always tell people this show is entertainment, so it's not therapy. So this isn't Loveline, so don't feel responsibility. You know, it's honestly, feel free to give an opinion.
If I knew him personally, you know, I wouldn't be happy to know that one of my friends was doing cocaine every single weekend. The meth thing, like, come on, dude.
That's
like
a whole different level. I'm like
that. It really is. You really need to, like, come on.
It just met. We're recording.
Stuff, like, that's a really slippery slope.
I mean, you get skinny. You do get skinny. It's a but you don't have have teeth to eat on. So there's a trade off. You have no cognitive functioning and you develop psychosis, but you're thin. So I remember,
well, that's what matters.
I remember once I was working with a youth, and like we were talking about drug addiction and counseling, and there was like a bunch of group of pictures where they show people like before meth and after. And we had to take out one set because it was a woman who was quite larger and showed her like a 6 months after using meth. And quote unquote, she looked healthier because she was thinner. And we're like, we have to take that picture out because the kids would be like, oh my God. And we're like, no. But, Gerald, I think if you're obviously the first place that you could go to would be any type of, you know, Crystal Meth Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous or anything like that. If you want to go something that's free, you could just show up. You could go to, I think it's AA.com or maybe .org. You can Google it.
Probably not at that level yet, right? Like, I don't want to crucify on that.
I think that it wouldn't hurt for Gerald to think about, and if he needs to hear other stories, I think it wouldn't hurt for him to think about why he can't go out and have fun from his stressful job without using drugs. So, like, what does the drug give him? Is it relaxation? Is it, you know, is it euphoria? Because obviously there's things like, you know, he could do yoga or he could do meditation or he could work, but he's like, he's working. It's shocking to me too, that he's working out, because a lot of people, if he is a gym nut, a lot of people kind of get on that. I wish I could find out what runner's high is, but I have the love handles to prove that I never have.
It just keeps you going, man. I mean, you see one of my medals there, but if I turn, you could see the other medals.
Oh my God. You're an Olympian? Apparently,
not an Olympian.
You are a Renaissance man, Joe Pardo. You are a Renaissance man, and I feel I'm just gonna eat donut holes and cry into my small existence.
Make sure you got milk, man. Don't start snorting the white powder off.
That's true. So, I mean, I don't know. I think that, you know, like I said, I'm not saying Gerald needs to go to a drug rehab or anything, but I'm just saying those meetings, I think Gerald might kind of think the way you and I talked about. We thought addicts were quote unquote certain types of people. And it sounds like from this question that he thinks, oh, I'm not an addict. I'm not using every day. I'm not like in the street. You go to those meetings and he's going to see people that probably look very similar to him. Maybe not. That's my suggestion.
Well, also keep in mind like where he's working, right? So in New York, there's a lot of, you know, I don't know. He didn't say what his job
is. He said a firm, so that could be financial. It could be law office. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, if I had to guess, it's probably financial, and it's probably everybody else is doing it, too.
It's probably like Wolf of Wall Street type of thing, maybe.
Yeah, well, maybe not to that level.
Not that level.
Like, yeah. Getting there. You know, it's true. Like, watch, what was it? Inside Job. You know? It's a documentary about the crash from 2008, and you know, it's like that's just what these people do. I mean, they even had one of the prostitute bosses. I don't want to say she's a it's a she, so I don't know if that's a pimpette. I don't know, but basically she runs a high end.
Joe Pardo and the pimpettes. That's a singing group right there.
and she's like, yeah, she's like, you know, and they weren't, she's like, the cops, nobody was interested in busting me. They were all interested in getting these, you know, these other guys. But like, she would just bill it as like laundromat service or something, or office supplies, or a desk, you know, and that she would just write up the invoice, whatever they wanted to say, she'll make it say it, and they'll get their, you know, sex for money. And it's like, damn, dude, it's like, you know, to me, it's like, I look at people and I'm like, you don't respect yourself enough to like, Not even the people that are selling their bodies. Like, you don't like the people that are like, I'm going to pay for this because it's available. Like, come on. Like, this just isn't like, where's the self-respect there? I guess if you uninhibit, and I think you're right hitting on the fact that maybe, you know, maybe he needs to look in himself, because I'm not the biggest fans of like AA.
I'm not like, always either. I'm just trying to give him a place to go that's free.
This, you know, you're trying to fit something in the circle. Like, you're missing something from your life, and it's like that's exactly. And it doesn't have to be drugs. Like, come on, let's be honest. Like, you said Dr. Pepper. It could be soda. It could be anything, dude. There's people. Look at My Strange Addiction TV show. It was on TLC or whatever. You know, snorting baby powder.
I think we're all addicts. Honestly, it's just about finding something that we're addicted to that's helpful. Like, obviously, you're addicted to podcasting or Disney or running. No, I'm seriously, and I know that, like, with podcasting, like, for me, it's stories. I love stories. I love documentaries. I love hearing people's stories. I love talking about, like, what, you know, what inspires people, what God is for people, like that kind of, those kind of things. I could do that all day when other people are just like, oh my gosh, stop. So I think, I just want Gerald to, I just want him to, well, and then, one thing, and then we can move on. But I worry too with Gerald is that when you use crystal meth, Gerald, it literally, like, the dopamine in your brain, not to get too technical, but it releases all of that feel good drug that your body makes, like 100% of it. So then you actually get very depressed for like 2 weeks. And like, so I don't know. This question is a couple of weeks out, so I don't know where you are, Gerald, but as far as right now in your life, but you might get depressed even, or develop depression from using this drug that gets you high. That's kind of the even shittier thing about meth, people don't know. So it's just. It meth is a drug that, like, you've done it like 3 times and added 2. When people say meth, everybody just makes this face that because you're like, ooh. So best of luck to you, Gerald.
The only one that you could say that wouldn't make me go like, ooh, is like marijuana. And even then, you know, it depends, like, how often are we talking here? Like every day? It's, or should you be getting like a prescription for it at that point?
Oh yeah.
Like for a depression issue or an anxiety issue, you know, at that point it's like, okay, well, you know, and I've come a long way, cause I don't drink, I don't smoke. I've only had like 4 drinks in my life. And it, to me, it's just like, I'm living life and I don't do everything that like, some people are like, I'm living life. I'm jumping out of planes. I'm like doing all this. Like, I'm climbing Everest. Like,
I don't want to.
Yeah, I value my life too. Like, there's a line I draw.
I do want to jump out of a plane. I don't want to climb Everest, but I find that too when I do stand up. A lot of stand up comedians, they are either drinking before or even a little drunk when they get up and do their set. And actually, like, I do love beer, but I don't drink a lot. But I don't drink at all when I'm doing the stand, when I'm performing or in any way, shape or form, because to me, that buzz of getting up in front of a group and like doing a set and like killing it and just having that interaction, like there's no craft beer that's going to be as good as that feeling of doing that. So,
amen, man.
So yeah, I'm totally, and I've tried pot like 3 times in my life and it always made me really paranoid. I did it like when I was in, so now screw it. I haven't done anything. All right, let's go on to the next question. This is from, what is it? It's Carol. Carol, and she is 33. This is like a hypothetical question. So this isn't as intense, Joe. So you're good on this one.
I'll take the first battle.
Okay. She's like, "Dear Maddie, I have a hypothetical question. My roommate and I were hanging around drinking wine and talking about Life Speaks questions. It's one of our favorite things to do. And we got on the subject of all guys who have I'm sorry. We got on the subject of guys who have fucked us over and kind of telling war stories with dating. But I digress. Then we were contemplating what you would think about this question. So here it is. Besides like terrible things like murder or rape or killing stuff, which is all horrible, what do you think emotionally is the worst thing someone can do to somebody else? Like, what is the emotional worst thing someone can do?" So, hypothetical question. This is from Carol. Do you want to take this first, or do you want me? I'll do whatever you want. You're the guest.
I mean, do you watch South Park at all?
I haven't in a long time. I used to.
So, I mean, spoiler alert. Episode where Cartman feeds chili to another character who isn't on the show regularly. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he feeds chili that's made of his own dad.
I think I saw that. That's pretty terrible.
Yeah, I think that's that would pretty terrible. That's pretty screw up. And then the big reveal later, and this is several seasons later, but the big reveal was that it was actually Cartman's dad as well, but he didn't know it.
Oh my gosh, I love South Park. They're so wrong. That feeding people dead bodies, that's pretty terrible. I think emotionally, I don't. Again, it's kind of a. It's kind of a weird question, Carol. So I don't know if I'm going to answer it right. But emotionally, what's the worst? I guess for me, it's like when I think back of like horrific things people done, it's like neglecting who people really are and like not letting them be who they are. Like whether it's in the form of like racism, discrimination, or like even like let's say like emotionally, like let's say you're dad or your family like really said, "No, you can't quit this job. You have to do this. You have to fit in this." And they force you somehow to do that. I think that's a terrible thing to do to a person when we don't just support people for being wanting to be them to live their like true life. I don't know. That sounds like a really like rainbow bright answer, but that's terrible to me. That's terrible to me. I think just from someone, I don't know. I hate that. I hate that when people feel oppressed to not be themselves, especially if they're not going to be. I mean, if you're Hitler, then yeah, you can't do you. But, if you're going to not do something that hurts other people, then yeah, that's upsetting to me.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we build that wall around ourselves. And that was something that I had to deal with where it's like, okay, well, I'm used to making X amount of dollars a year and living a certain lifestyle. And now I'm going to forfeit all that and throw caution to the wind and like go do something else. And hopefully hopefully it's going to work out.
Yeah. Hopefully it's going
to
work out.
I'm still making my way through it, but I have made some money, but not enough to pay the mortgage or anything. But that's part of the problem too. Mm. It's like how much, and that's what I was getting at earlier with the whole like, college debt thing, right? It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you can go to school, but you're not gonna be able to like necessarily go to school, pay that debt and start a band and like work through that while paying that debt down, while having a house or an apartment or whatever, and make all that work for you. You really have to be like, okay, I'm gonna at least try this for like a year or two, spend that money I would spend on college on this. And in the process, you're gonna make make connections. But again, that's not for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Doing that kind of stuff isn't
problem. Yeah, so exactly.
What your strengths are and go from there. But it's funny as I was just thinking about instead of feeding people to other people, it would be like, "Oh, Matt, I know I was supposed to watch your dog. Your dog left, but I made chili. Would you like some chili?"
I love you more because you're inappropriate. I love it. Kara, I hope that helped. Well, all right. That's all the quote unquote questions we have. I realized I didn't tell you at all about the show. So now usually we kind of already done this anyway, but I have a section of the show called Celebrity Shit the Bed, where we just talk about something in pop culture. And some people talk about Donald Trump. You could talk about ISIS. You could talk about sports scandals. Some people talk about good things that happened. Like they saw, you know, like a dog freaking out because his, you know, father who's a Marine came home, whatever. If there's something that's kind of been going on in the brain of Joe Pardo this week that you're like, oh, this is something that I thought was interesting this week that really, really touched me or made me angry or moved me or made me cry or made me want to feed people, my dog, whatever. Whatever. I don't know your life, Joe Pardo. Don't know your life.
Oh, man. Well, I haven't had much time this because it's a holiday week.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had much time to like follow much in the news. So I'm going to defer to news.google.com.
Oh, yeah, you do that. You do you.
I do have something. So, okay. And this was maybe a little bit ago. I was really impressed. Well, I don't know if impressed is the right. It's probably not the right word. I'm really bad at picking the right word sometimes.
No.
But there was there's a group of women in Iraq or Iran that fight off ISIS as like a band of women, like because apparently ISIS is terrified of being killed by women. It's like,
oh, really?
Because yeah, if you get killed by a woman, you're not going to heaven. Like you're not going to get into their heaven.
There's a lot of rules, ISIS.
I know. Life
so
has
many rules.
So many rules, but not even just everything has rules.
Yeah.
It's like, but you know, it's like wow, like the like, and they're just like acting silly on camera and stuff. But then the next you see them like they're like shooting the AK-47s through like the little holes in the sandbag walls and stuff. And it's like, geez, man, they like look at them. They're taking up arms and they're just kicking ass. And like they don't like. They're like, I hope that I can kill lots of them.
I wonder if I just saw like a Tina Fey movie where she plays a reporter. And she was like going in Iraq, like based on a true story, like in I'm going to sound stupid, not a militia, but and it was a lot of women fighters. I'm probably screwing it up. I think that was like, I mean, that's like, I don't know how much more feminist you could be. That's badass. That's just badass.
I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, I feel like if we were, you know, being attacked on our homeland, we would be taking up. Well, I mean, some people would. I guess I probably would, too. But I'm not a fighter. Like, I'm not going off into wars. I'm not.
Yeah,
like, that's just not my thing. I don't even like hurting bugs. Like, 9 times out of 10, like, I'll get my wife in here because I just feel bad. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
No, I get that.
It's just not my thing.
No. It's so, you know, sad and horrific that people are having to do that to defend. I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like to have a war zone in literally your own backyard in that respects. But still, that's amazing. I'm going to read that article. I love that. I love that.
It was like one of those like share this or whatever videos. It was only like a minute and a half or something like that. But yeah, it was
Wonder Woman is my favorite. So I love kick-ass women. She's my favorite.
You excited for the movie?
I'm so.
She's in Batman versus Superman, right?
She was the best part of that trailer. I'm optimistically cautious because Zack Snyder, I can't go. It's like a whole other show, but like, I just feel like Man of Steel to me, one of my big things is Superman is not brooding. Like Superman is hopeful. And like, he's not this kind of like, oh gosh, I save people and I'm unhappy about it character. I think that's what Christopher Reeve was. So like he would save somebody and fly away and he would kind of smile. And like Wonder Woman, I feel like, a lot of writers with Wonder Woman, they either they make her a bitch. They're like, because they feel like that's what a strong woman is, like a really just bitchy Amazon woman. And I kind of want to be like, I know people thought it was a little campy, but I really just feel like they just need to give us some sort of like Wonder Woman we saw with Linda Carter's, because Wonder Woman has never worked except for that. That's the only time it like, that's what pretty, I think what Wonder Woman wants to see. But anyway, Hashtag soapbox. Soapbox. But this is coming from a kid. I think my mom has a picture of me somewhere in a white diaper, red galoshes, and a jump rope. And I'd be like, you have to tell the truth. And I would lasso people. So Oklahoma was fun. And I had a lisp. That was awesome. So anyway, okay. So
you sound like the guy from Princess Bride.
Exactly.
The priest.
Yeah. Matt was. All right. So we're almost done. And then I will let you live your day and go over to your life. How far along pregnant is your wife?
I think it's like 7 months because it's March 12th. Yeah.
That's my birthday.
Oh, really?
I gotta click
props for that.
Oh, yeah. What? That's amazing. That's a same birthday as James Taylor.
Holy.
Yeah. Gordon McRae, who starred in Oklahoma, my favorite musical. And who else? Liza Minnelli was born on March 12th. I want to say someone like, who ran for president? Mitt Romney, I believe, is on March 12th as well. So maybe that could be wrong. I was more excited about Liza Minnelli.
No,
I live for her. No, you weren't. I live for her. 2011. Sorry for people listening. Somebody on Blab, if you log into Blab, you can actually comment and say things to us that we can read. Oh, she was not born on March 12th. This, you got me. All right. So, the best congratulations and best of luck.
We actually have a podcast based around that as well.
Yeah, what's it? What's it called?
It's called Birth.
Birth. Oh, you. Okay, I'm gonna ask you Chatty Matty questions, and then we're gonna actually. I've got so many things I'm gonna have to put in the show notes because you have so many shows. I don't know what to keep track with. But all right, so these are just five questions I ask everybody on every single show. So Chatty Matty question number one: what's your most memorable or favorite childhood smell?
Oh man, smell.
It's okay. It's a podcast. We can have dead air.
Being down in Ocean City, New Jersey, I would have to say probably the caramel popcorn there on the boardwalk.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Definitely like that.
So is that like just something your family would do like on weekends, or could you smell it even from your house?
Well, my mom. Well, we only live like an hour from there, but my mom's side of the family had like an apartment, and it was like a 2.5-bedroom apartment, but they would pack in like 12 people in this.
Oh wow.
2.5 bed. Oh yeah, yeah. It was like everyone sleeping on the floor or the couch, but they'd rent it for like the whole year, and I would go down, you know, a couple times a summer and go spend time down there, and we traveled down there. In fact, even now we go down like a couple times a year just to walk around the boardwalk and enjoy it. In fact, it's oddly enough, it's a dry town.
Oh really?
Yeah,
that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the top 10.
Yeah, it's like family. You don't have to worry about lush people falling on your children.
Yes, well, they have bars and stuff just outside of the city limits, but you know, you gotta drive to them. So it's just nice.
I like that. I love caramel. My mama loves caramel popcorn. All right, Chatty Matty question number two: what would be the name of your memoir? I mean, you've written other books, but if it was a memoir,
I don't know. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Like, cause I want to write a book more about like the, like my past and everything that's happened.
It's okay.
I don't know.
I don't even know what mine would be. I asked the question and I don't. My memoir would be, I forgot. I don't know because my memory is so terrible. it's tough questions right here.
I think it would be. Medication. I don't know. I mean, it would probably. I don't want to give like.
It can change. It can change. It can be what you know. This did, if you write a memoir 10 years from now, I'm not going to call you up and be like, Joe, you gave me a name.
You need to use that.
Yeah.
I probably would, you know, a word that I've used since I was little, because my dad makes fun of me because I used to say it like far is fair. So I probably something with the word fair in it.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
I mean, even going back and little like a little kid standing up on my bed and like trying to explain to my mom and my dad why it's what they're doing isn't fair or far. And you know, I could see that because it's something that I strive for a lot when I do everything I do. I try to make it as fair as I can. I equality and all that. But like, just is it fair? And like I said before, like, I like things to be right. Like, I don't have to be right, but it has to be right. Whatever we're doing has to be the right way and the right thing to do. So there's probably something with the word fair in it.
That's actually one of my favorite answers, and I'm not just saying that because you agreed to do my show. I really mean that. Okay, three more, and then I'll let you get back to life. All right, Chatty Matty question number three. What's the best piece of advice you wish you had taken earlier? I know, I'm stumping you. And I thought about telling you before, but I like telling people on the show because then I feel like it's a more authentic answer.
You know, I would have to say that I wish that I had me and my dad butt heads a lot, but, I think his advice of like, you know, just get what you're trying to get done, like get your life in order. And that's all really matters. Cause like everything else, like whether it's girls growing up and like dating or boys or whatever, just dating in general, it'll all fall into place. As long as you make sure that, you know, you got your head on straight and you're doing what you need to do and you get yourself on the right, on a path. It doesn't have to be necessarily the right path. Cause sometimes that path will lead to another path, but getting on that right path. And I wish that I had did that sooner because I probably would have did more with DJing sooner, like, you know, 10 years ago at this point, and taking that a lot further than I did. But then again, I was limited because I was, you know, working full time with my family's company. So I would have had to make that decision to leave that. I don't know how that went.
Yeah.
But if I had done that, you know, I'd be in a different place. I would have probably done better. I always, you know what it is I wait for things to be right with like other people and other situations. And it was tough for a long time for me to handle that. And I still struggle with it today. Like I don't have it all figured out, but you know, like not letting outside influences influence my inside as much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's tough. It's really tough.
It's it's hard to listen to your voice instead of the crowd.
You know, like, hey, take, I'm sorry, I can't recall his name.
Gerald.
Gerald, you know, if he's going to a firm or he works at a firm and everyone's going out and they're doing cocaine afterwards, you going to be that guy that says no?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases that could limit him, you know, who knows, that could limit him at advancing in the firm and all that kind of stuff. Me, I'd say shove it up your ass and I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to take that shit from someone else for that, but it's tough. It's tough to say no. And it's tough to, you know, to not just be a leader, but to like be a leader of yourself to say, I'm not, like, I try to live a healthy life and I see what this does to other people and it's just not for me. It's like I talked to someone that does steroids before and I was like,
oh, wow,
shocked at this idea. And they're just like, well, you know, look at like Stallone. He's 60 some years old and he's still looking good. And I'm like, that's one person, dude.
That's not a reason.
Yeah, I know. It's just because, like, it's a whole, like, goes back to the whole, oh, so Sylvester Stallone jumped off a bridge. You going to jump off a bridge?
Yeah, that's just...
Like, come on now.
No, that's... No. Yeah, that's... No, I don't get that at all. Oh, what is Live For Her? Oh, Live For Her says more audience engagement. Sorry, Live For Her. I'm sorry we're not getting... She thinks we get more viewers if we... What was her thing that she said, her dad telling her to go to cosmetology school before she was in college when she started in 2005 at 16. That was with she some advice she wished she had taken. especially since he said he was going to pay for it. Well, that would have, yeah, that would have been nice. So no, I do appreciate. I'm sorry. The blab is new to
it's
us.
It's a lot
so
going on, man.
It's a lot. There's a lot of
you're listening.
They're listening. It's
you're
like
trying to come up with the next questions, and you know, the chat. You have to like read through.
This is why.
Your own producer, right? Because a producer would be like reading the chat comments and like,
oh yeah,
feeding you something to just be like, okay, yeah, say something along this line. Like,
yeah,
like filtering all that out.
Oh no, I have a huge budget. There's like 20 people right here watching us, and by 20 I mean my dog. So yeah. All right. Two more chatty matty questions. We're done. So what day would be your groundhog day? What day have you that you could just live over and over?
It's supposed to be a happy thing, right? Because like Groundhog's Day was not really a happy movie.
Well, no, yeah, it's not in reference to the movie. Yeah, this is like, what day were you like, man, I would do that day over and over again, a day that you've had before. Yes, hopefully happy. Hopefully it's not like, you know, day I had a root canal. I want to do that over and over. That would be, that's called a masochist. That would be not enjoyable.
I don't know. I guess probably
it could be, some people say their wedding day. A lot of people, very few people actually say the day their child was born, because that was so stressful. They're like, that was a great day, but not to freak you out. But
no, that, I mean, don't get me wrong. That was a great day. But I feel like there might be a day that was better. And I'm thinking more along like when I was a kid type day.
That's the kind of stuff I think of too. Like I remember, I think for me, my groundhog would be, I remember specifically, I mean, they all kind of blend together, but I loved doing 4th of July at my grandpa's. He lived out on a farm and my cousins from Houston would come up. And it was just, I remember especially one 4th of July, like we're making, you know, everybody makes like, and we have a big lunch. Everybody makes baked beans and fried chicken and all that kind of like Southern food. And then instead of like a big fireworks show, because he lived out of the city limits, my mom, all the moms would set up their lawn chairs out in the Oklahoma heat with like, you could hear the crickets and everything. And then the fathers would all help all of us kids light fireworks, and we do like the small fireworks, but then like the big ones were like the dads would do them. And I remember one year it was a Roman candle that they had set in the dirt, and it had tipped over and it tipped towards all the mothers. So all of a sudden, yeah, I just see all these mothers just screaming and going flailing while Roman candle shoots at them. And we laughed and laughed and laughed. And so I feel like that's the day. And I remember my family made homemade vanilla ice cream, and we had ice cream after that. And that's the day I think I would live it over and over. So,
it was probably a time when my parents were still together, I guess.
Yeah, for me too. My parents were together then too. So,
yeah, probably one of those days.
One of those days.
I don't know.
Okay, last question. And then, oh my goodness, so live for her at 67 hours of labor. Lord Jesus, God help you. Lord, you are a strong woman. All right. Last question. When are you most inspired?
When
are you most inspired?
Is it generally, well, two times. When I'm sleeping or about to go to sleep, because of course the ideas rush in and I gotta roll over and grab the phone. But when I go to Disney World or Disneyland for that matter, that's like it's a lot of you know, it's a vacation, but it's not for me. Like the last couple of years have not been a vacation going to Disney World, because I have the podcasts and I'm doing, you know, meetups, and I'm going to other people's meetups, and it's just a constant like onslaught of seeing people. And that's one of the reasons why I love going, is I get to see so many people from all over that just love Disney and they get it, right? It's not like, oh, Disney, I gotta go there with my family again for like the third time in 5 years. And it's like, no, like, this is my fifth time in 1 year, and I can't wait to come back the next time and see all these people and do all these things. And it's not about the rides. I mean, some of the rides, you know, I really love, but for the most part, it's because of the people. And that's when I get inspired, like being around other people, interacting. It's funny, for a guy who doesn't get out of his pajamas very often anymore, I get inspired by like interactions like this, you know,
mm-hmm.
talking to people and getting to just know other people and know other stories and what they've learned, so that I can take that and look at my own life with their lessons and pull out something from it.
Well, and you know what, too, because I just went to Disneyland about 2 weeks ago, and I love it as well. And what I think I've always loved about Disneyland, Disney World, is I think it allows us to dream. It's so funny that, like, that's such an important thing of, like, dreaming big, is that that's what Disney does. It allows us to do that. I just think it's a great, great, great thing. So, well, that's it, Sugar. You, like, you did it. You did the Dear Maddie show. What's happened? There's so much going on. Live for when I was, we're talking about wheelchairs. We got some comments going on. So I'll save it for the web thing. But for everybody else listening on the podcast, tell us where they can find you. I'll put these in the show notes. I'll get this information from you. But yeah, tell everybody where they can find you.
All right. So you can pretty much get to everything that I do at superjoepardo.com.
All right.
That includes the 6 podcasts. That includes my books. That includes my conference. You can get the link from there, which is podcastmidatlantic.com. September 10th, Maddie, if you're around, you know, or could be around, that's the conference. September 10th.
That's my father's birthday. What is with you? Are you stalking my family? Joe, get away.
I promise I'm not.
Get away. That would be, well, that sounds wonderful. Yes. Okay. So superjoepardo.com.
Everything is right there.
And for people listening, Joe, it's Joe, and then P as in Paul, ARDO, joepardo.com.
ARDO. That is true.
Yes. 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 Well, thank you so much for doing this. Again, talk about a leap of faith. You didn't know me from Adam. This could have been a podcast about crystal meth and how to make it. You had no idea, and you just
I want to roll with it, man.
You roll with it very much.
I mean, I'm not gonna make it. I'm not gonna smoke it.
No, I'm not gonna
inject it. But you know, I'll roll with it.
Well, please let me know when you're in LA again, and I will.
If you're
in Disneyland, for sure I'll come. I'm actually friends with Alan Menken. So,
really? Who,
yeah, actually, I used to teach summer camp.
Why does that name sound familiar?
He wrote the music to Beauty and the Beast, The Little Mermaid, Tangled. And so I went to Disneyland one time and I got a hook up. Like, it was the private tour and everything. I got to see Walt Disney's, his private apartment and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and I have another friend too. You probably would love, I just posted a podcast with her. Her name's Erin Lillis, and she has a podcast called Suburb City Transmit. That's a story podcast, but she's also a Disney like aficionado. And so just going with her, it's like, she knows all like the nostalgic California, not Disney World, but Disneyland, like where this ride was and how it changed. Anyway, it's all.
Well, we have a show. I don't know if you saw Living the Dream podcast. It's me and a partner of mine, Krista, and we interview Disney legends on that show.
Oh, wow.
So we've had all kinds of, let me see here. We just had Ronnie Del Carmen, who was the director or the co-director of Inside Out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Linda Larkin, who is the voice of Jasmine. We've had...
oh, that's awesome.
Garner Holt, who does all these animatronics. He's actually out by you in San Bernardino, his production facility. Jennifer McGill, who was one of the Mouseketeers.
Oh, yeah. Have you had Haley Mills? If you ever have Haley Mills, I would cry. I would cry myself. I love Haley Mills. Do you not know Haley Mills? Oh, my gosh.
My partner is way more versed in the names part of it than I am.
She was in that movie, like one of my favorite movies. She was in Pollyanna. She was a girl in Pollyanna. She was in Summer Magic, Parent Trap, the first Parent Trap. She was the girl in Parent Trap, blonde. Oh, I love Haley Mills.
I'll talk with my...
I'm like an old Disney nerd. That's the kind of stuff I like. So anyway, we're going off the tangent here, though. Because see, this is... I'll go down the rabbit hole. But well, thank you so much. And for everybody else listening, you know, send your questions to DearMattyShow.com. If you're watching this on Blab for the first time and you want to listen to the show again, go to DearMattyShow.com or Dear Matty Show on iTunes and Stitcher. My social media, including this, is all the Matt Marr. And Sugar, that is it. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much again.
Matt,
if you ever need anything from me, I will help you, whatever I can do. So I appreciate you so much.
Well, no, thank you. Anything I can do for you, man, just let me know.
It's the community. So. Yeah, we got connections. So, and for the rest of you, have a great year in 2016 and do something for someone this week. And I'll see you next week. Okay. Bye, everybody. And thank you, Liv, for her and everybody for commenting. Bye. Yay.